السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over receivers, once again we have had a nikah, and therefore it's appropriate that we speak something about marriage in Islam. However, since we have been discussing the topic of akhlaq, character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how important it is that we should develop in our lives the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so marriage is something that also demands this to a very great level. There is a very great demand upon a couple to develop within their lives the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A happy marriage will depend upon how much of akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the life of the husband, and how much of it is in the life of the wife. If both of them have got the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that marriage will be a very, very peaceful one, a very happy one. It will be a marriage which will have a lot of barakat, a marriage in which that home will be a jannat and paradise on earth. And the more the person has drifted from the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that marriage will be hellfire on earth. The person does not have to go to search for hellfire. He will have it in his home. It is no secret, everybody knows that these days, how many marriages are failing because there is a lack and there's a deficiency in this quality, in this ingredient which we term as akhlaq. So there is a link. Therefore I will continue that Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his teachings, whosoever will adopt and in whichever field of life, then he will see success, he will see happiness, he will see peace. If the laborer adopts it in that field, if the employee adopts it in his field, if the husband in his field, the wife in her field, the parents in their field, the children in their field, whosoever adopts the teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if it's a businessman, then in his field, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has promised, that there's going to be barakat, there's going to be happiness, there's going to be unity. Friction, division, disunity will then vanish. But the more we distance ourselves from that, the more we are going to face problems, irrespective of how much we may have in our hands or in our banks or in our pockets or in overseas investments. It is not going to help that marriage. These days we say that my son is ready for marriage. I'm speaking general terms. My daughter is ready for marriage. What does that mean? That I've got a good home for my son. I've got a very big bank account for him. I've got a nice car for him. I've given him education, he's got qualification, he's got degrees attached to his name. So therefore my son is ready for marriage. When we say my daughter is ready for marriage, I've given her plenty of jewelry, and I've given her plenty of clothes, and I've given her plenty of gold and silver, and diamonds and rubies, and I've got a nice bank balance for her, or I've built a nice home for her, I've given her this, I've given her that, so therefore she is ready for marriage. Whereas both people should be ready for marriage when they've got the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've got everything else, that's not a problem, it is required. Sharia does not prohibit us from making use of the ni'mats and bounties that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. We are living in a world of means, and therefore we have to make use of those means. For whom else has Allah Ta'ala created the whole universe? In reality, it has been created for the Muslim. And the others who are enjoying the bounties, they are enjoying it because there is some Muslim that is taking the name of Allah Ta'ala in the universe. The day there will be nobody left to say Allah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will destroy the universe. So this is a clear indication that the whole universe has been created for the benefit of Muslims. The rest of them, whatever they are enjoying, it is because there's some Muslim in the world. However, the Muslim, this is not the end of life. So therefore he makes use of the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah Ta'ala that he has been blessed with in this world. But he makes use of them so that he may get everlasting happiness in the akhirat. Because this life, there's going to be some kind of problem, difficulty, hardship, pain, suffering. No matter how pious a person, no matter how righteous a person, no matter how God-fearing a person, but in his life he cannot say that I will have absolutely nothing to worry about, no difficulty, no hardship, no pain and suffering. There will be some kind of suffering that will come. But for the pious and the righteous one, it will be a means of elevation of the status, higher stages in Jannat. And for sick ones, of those people who are in sins and in evil and in vices and all kinds of haram like ourselves, so then it is a forgiveness of sins, or it is to get us up from our slumber and sleep. But nobody can save himself in this world. So Allah Ta'ala does not prohibit that you... Allah Ta'ala does not say don't make use of the things of this world. To have a good home, to have a good bank balance, to have a good car, that is not dunya. I've said this many times. But when it diverts us from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and takes us on haram lines, when that same wealth is now used in the casinos, in the discos, in rave clubs, in movies, in Hollywood and Bollywood pictures, so then we will say that now this wealth is not a wealth of barakat and rahmat. Now it is an azab on that person. So nevertheless, this is linked up with the subject that we have been discussing, and that is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just by the way, because it was something that I mentioned before, but it's a new audience, that even when people go to Madinah Sharif and come back, I always tell them, and I tell myself and those who are with me too, that the maal of Madinah Sharif is not the gold and the silver and the merchandise that is in the marketplaces there. That is not the maal of Madinah Sharif. That has come from Japan, China, that has come from America and other parts of the world. And there's nothing wrong. You buy it, you use it, you take it as gifts for the family. But the real maal of Madinah Sharif is the generosity of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the humility of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the taqwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the shukr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the sabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the forgiveness, the politeness, all these things which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught, that is the real maal of Madinah Sharif. If a person brings that in his life and comes back, then we say, mashallah, you have brought something really valuable and precious. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given many, many guidelines with regards to nikah also. But we are not discussing that at this stage. What I am talking about is that how important this akhlaq is in every field of life. So much so that in marriage it is even more important. If we want peace, we want happiness, and we want jannat and paradise on earth. One hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person who has been given a share of politeness, then he has been given a share of the best of dunya and akhirat. And the person who has been deprived of politeness, he has been deprived of a share of the best of dunya and akhirat. Clearly meaning that if this person has got politeness in his life, and he will be tested for this politeness in his marriage all his life, that there will be many, many occasions where he will be tested. So if he has got this, then he's got the best, or he's got a share of the best of dunya and akhirat. So we can see this politeness that we are talking about, how important it is in nikah also. The person's anger, he has to have it under control. He has to humble himself. He has to swallow his pride and his anger. The wife is not going to consider all those degrees and qualifications that the person has. The person can be a Mufti Sahib, he can be a Qari Sahib, he can be a great Allama Sahib. But the wife, she has got love for the husband, if she has really got love. And the husband, if he's got love for the wife, then the relationship between husband and wife is not of that kind that we have, which of is a very formal kind, that we say this person is a judge, this person is a Maulana Sahib, is a Qari Sahib, is a doctor Sahib, or is a lawyer Sahib. That is not the relationship. There is what we may term as a relationship of muhabbat on the one hand, and on the other hand, azmat. There has to be both things. The wife has to have muhabbat of the husband, and she has to have azmat of the husband. If she is lacking in one, then there's going to be a problem. That means sometimes that muhabbat and the love reaches a stage where she ignores that he is also my husband. As a husband, he's got some kind of authority that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to him. So she has to have azmat also, and she has to have muhabbat also. And the husband also, he has to have love, affection, he has to have compassion, he has to have mercy, he has to have kindness, and he has to understand that she is my wife. She has been given to me by somebody. She is a daughter of someone. She is also a human being. She also has desires. She also has feelings. So she must not be treated as a doormat. She must not be deprived of a rightful share. She must not be treated as one who is given no share in anything. She must be given her due respect. It's both ways. When both people are going to fulfill each other's rights, then only there's going to be peace and harmony. Always, whichever family or whichever party there is a dispute, argument, fight and division, somebody is doing injustice. Somebody is doing injustice. If both people are just and fair, there's no question of any kind of fights and arguments. But there will be some kind of argument, some kind of fight or some kind of dispute, some kind of disagreement, we will say, between husband and wife. So at that time, we must listen to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We are talking about akhlaq. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is Atta radiallahu ta'ala, and this is a hadith of Bukhari Sharif. Many things he has mentioned in there on the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is a hadith of Qudsi, meaning Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says. So some of the things that have been mentioned, there is laysa bifazzin wala ghaliz. Laysa bifazzin wala ghaliz. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not harsh and hard-hearted. Now, is this not important in marriage, that the person must not be harsh and hard-hearted? The person is very cheerful when he is talking to his friends, when he is talking to his companions, when he is amongst those people that are known to him or unknown to him, but he is in the outside world. Then he is meek and he is humbled and he is like a lamb, and he is talking very sweetly and he is entertaining them, and there is jokes and there is laughter and there is enjoyment. And the moment he walks into the house, it is like some lion has walked in, some tiger has walked in. The person, the wife becomes terrified, and they desire and they wish, those wives, they wish all the time, I wish this husband stays out of the house as much as possible. If they say, we are extending our stay overseas for another couple months, they are very happy. They say, extend it for a couple years too, doesn't matter. What does it matter? The more you are out of the house, the more peace and enjoyment we get. So that should not be the case. The husband, the wife should be looking forward to the return of the husband. That is the kind of love they must be having. And the husband also, wherever he is traveling, but because his gaze is saved from lustful glances, and the person is not going to the prostitutes in those countries that he is going to. When he is alone in those hotels, he is not visiting those prostitutes, which has become such a common thing in our times. I get letters and calls and all kinds of things all the time. So if this husband is also had got taqwa in his life, therefore the three ayats that we listen to in the khutbah of the nikah, everyone deals with taqwa. Main jahan bhi rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Jis jahan mein rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Samne aisa khauf hai قیامت رہے سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے. Wherever I may stay, whether I'm on the ground or I'm in the aeroplane, whether I'm in China or I'm in Japan or I'm in England or America or I'm in Paris or London, wherever I may be, whichever hotel I may be, if no one else is watching, then Allah is watching. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. When you hide and commit sins, then somebody is watching you from above. So if this husband also in his travels, he says, wherever I may be, but my taqwa must remain salamat. So now if this husband is controlling his gaze, and he is not going and visiting any kind of prostitute quarters, and the person is abstaining from any kind of extramarital relationship anywhere in the world, then this person will be desirous of returning home to his wife. So this is what we mean, that taqwa must remain salamat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Atar radiallahu ta'ala says in Hadith of Qudsi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Laysa bi fazzin wala ghaliz, neither harsh nor hard-hearted. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very polite. And especially when he entered the home, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that he was full of smile and cheer. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was of such a high level, his contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was the greatest. Ba'das khuda buzrug tui qissa mukhtasar. But yet see what level he comes down to. He comes down to the level of ordinary human beings. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam associates with his wives, with his children, like any father or no father could ever associate with. The best of fathers that you could ever get was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The best of husband you could ever get was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That Hadith Sharif I have mentioned so many times, that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returned from the cave of Hira, and he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, and the whole hadith was related. So they, in what beautiful words Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha consoled Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada, innaka la tasilu rahim wa tahmilu al-kal. I've discussed this hadith sharif many times, that she describes the beautiful and wonderful qualities of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So in this hadith sharif also, Hazrat Atar radiallahu ta'ala reports that he said, Laysa bi fazzin wala ghaliz, wala sakhabin fil aswaq. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not one that made loud noises in the bazaars. Look at our condition. That we do not have that kind of yaqeen that Allah ta'ala is the provider of the risk and sustenance. That our risk, our sustenance will follow us like a shadow. All we have to do is make the right effort and seek from halal sources. And do not overexert oneself, and do not believe that if I work very, very hard, then I will make plentiful. وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. The bird leaves its nest. To some birds, Allah Ta'ala gives it just below the tree. It just comes out of the tree and the food is there. Some children were playing in the park, or somebody else was playing, they left some sandwiches there, and the bird gets it right there. Some birds have to fly a little distance. Some have to go even further. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fills their bellies and they return. So in the same way, the risk and sustenance of man also, Allah ta'ala has already predestined. But he does not know where it's going to come from, so therefore being a world of means again, somebody will open a supermarket, somebody will open a barber shop, somebody will open a butcher shop, somebody will open a bakery, somebody will go farming, somebody will be in profession. But the risk will be provided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So there was no need to shout and scream and play music, loud music to attract customers. All those kind of things was not required if the person had yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala is the provider of risk. Yes. So, wala sakhabin fil aswaq. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith al-Qudsi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, besides the other things, wala yadfau sayyata bis sayyia walakin ya'fu wa yaghfir. Allah Ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not ward off evil with evil, but his distinguishing quality was this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he warded off evil with good. I'm just explaining to you. That if somebody had to do bad to him, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did good to him. And this you will find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he never ever took revenge for his personal self. Whatever jihad and other things took place, that was not for his personal self. His personal self, whoever swore him, he was forgiven. The person who cursed him was forgiven. The person who stoned him was forgiven. The person who poisoned him was forgiven. The person who was thirsty for his blood was forgiven. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. There's nothing there but forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Where do we find even in one place that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got very angry because his wife didn't have the food hot on time? because his clothes were not ironed on time, because the wife was not ready to leave on time. Or when he went into the house, he found that the beds were not done, or the house was not swept. Now these are things over which husbands are losing their tempers and cool, and divorces are taking place. Whereas, is it necessary that she has to have all these things on time? His food and his bread and his clothes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself participated in the activities within the home. We find the greatest after Allah sweeping the house, the greatest after Allah knitting or stitching his own clothes, the greatest after Allah tabarak wa ta'ala helping Hazrat Aisha to knead the dough. Where is our piety and taqwa compared to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? And we want to demand that, no, we must be given very, very high respect. Respect is something that we command, we do not demand. If we are going to love those wives as Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have said, not the kind of love that the Westerners teach us, the kind of love that we are being taught at present is not the love that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us. The kind of love that they have taught us is leading to more friction, more fights, more disunity. The demands of the wives that must take me to the cinema, must take me to the rave, must take me to the Suncoast casino. For what? For fun and pleasure. And some say, no, we're very pious, we don't gamble. We just go for the fun of it. Little children are taken for the fun of it, just go and have a look at the machines there. And after some time when they become addictive gamblers, then after that we hold our heads and cry. Those wives were not demanding that they must be brought all the haram movies and TVs, and they must be going to, taken to meet those Bollywood and Hollywood stars when they arrive at the airport. So that is not the love that Islam is teaching. That love will bring azab of Allah Ta'ala, and then the person will suffer in this world too and in the akhirat too. Those marriages, they can say how much they like, but they're not going to be marriages of happiness and peace. Friction, disunity. One woman phones one, says, Maulana, if you have to look at my house, you will think I'm living in a palace. And there's nothing that I'm short of. Nothing that I'm short of. Everything I have. Plenty of jewelry, plenty of cash, and there's no shortage of food. But in reality, I'm living in a prison because my husband is involved with other women. And he hardly visits me. Late part of the night or early part of the morning, he comes, and that too in a day state. So he gives everything, but it is as if I've got nothing. So happiness does not come with material things. Material things are a necessity of life. And Sharia doesn't stop us from even making use of some luxuries. But happiness will come when Allah Ta'ala will put happiness. And happiness will only come when the person is obeying Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore he says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that was not his habit, or it was not him that he would ward off evil with evil. Here if a person has to, if the wife has to say one thing, then he's going to curse the wife, her father, her mother and the whole family. That's our state. And if it's the other way around, then she will do the same thing. Because some wives are also doing the same thing. A wife says that he told me something, I gave him one slap. Then he started fighting with me, I too booted him properly. So now is that marriage that? I booted him, he booted me. Is that marriage? You rather buy a good pair of boots, that's better, and give it to each other. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazl and ihsan upon us that he gave us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our guide. In every field of life, this time is too limited to go into all the details now of nikah and what are the rights of wives and rights of husbands. This we have been listening to all the time. But I will conclude on one very important message, and that is, that it's not a question of we don't know. It's not a question of we don't know the rights of wives, or the wives don't know the rights of husbands. How many people can say that they don't know that all these things are going to cause friction and disunity? There are causes that are undertaken, that how the husband and wife should behave and how they should fulfill each other's rights. But if a person has to study, if he has to make some research, then you will find that most of those people who know a lot about the rights of wives, and the most of those wives who know a lot about the rights of husbands, they too are fighting like cats and dogs. So why? There must be a reason why. When you know so much, then why? So that is the reason. That knowing is not sufficient. We have to implement. We have to make amal on it. then it will draw the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala unite the hearts of the couple that got married, bless them with long life, good health, piety, prosperity, and with children also who will be born of the marriage with piety, happiness and prosperity. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering that the Ummah is going through throughout the world, especially Palestine, Iraq, Sudan, Somalia, every part of the world, which part the Ummah is not suffering. But we must look at our actions also, that in which direction are we going. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove their suffering, pain and problem and unite the Ummah and bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat.